Well, thanks for being here. This is an information session where we're going to talk about the Investment and Innovation Program grants. And just to introduce again, we have Noelle in the room who is very involved in this program. She's kind of managing this whole solicitation this year, along with myself and Matt Korot on the team as well. And so these are three of us are main points of contact. Really, Noelle and I and another woman named Laura, who's not here right now, but the three of us can help you along the way and answer questions. So I want to quickly talk about why we're here today. I want to give an overview of the grant program, specifically the program grants. We won't spend a whole lot of time talking about capital grants. If you have questions about those at the end, we can talk about them after we cover all the program stuff. We'll talk about eligibility for the program grants and the budget, match requirements, the application process. Kai has been through it once, but it's changed a bit this round. And I wanted to direct your attention. There's handouts in the background, or the back table there. The program grant handbook is the solicitation. It has all the eligibility requirements, the application questions, instructions for Zoom grants, which is the application portal. So that's basically everything I'm going to talk about today is in that handbook. We have 90 minutes, so we can have plenty of time to talk with you about your project. This won't take very much of that window. If you haven't seen them yet, restrooms are just around the corner. Some snacks in the back. I think you both signed in. And then, yeah, I just wanted to mention this is being recorded. That covers all our logistics. If you guys aren't super familiar with Metro, I know you're new to the region, so Metro is a regional government, serves more than 1.5 million people in large parts of Clackamas, Multnomah, and Washington counties, and its boundary includes the greater Portland area. It manages and oversees regional issues and functions, including things like transportation planning, the zoo, the convention center. We have a system of regional parks and natural areas, and a major function of Metro's work is overseeing and managing and planning for the regional garbage and recycling system, solid waste system. So that's just kind of an overview of what we are. This grant program is new. It's a pilot program. We're in our second year of a three-year pilot, and the overarching goals of the program are to strengthen local efforts to reduce the amount and toxicity of waste and effectively manage and make better use of waste that is produced in the region and ensure that the benefits of the garbage and recycling system are shared by everyone and that we advance equity. Somewhat looking lost. Oh, good. Okay. Great.
Good eye, Matt.
Good eye, Matt. Bobby time. Hello. Welcome. I was just getting started, so you didn't miss anything of substance.
Okay, great.
Welcome. I'm Suzanne. I'm the manager of the Investment and Innovation Grant Program.
Yeah.
Have a seat. Yeah, we'll be pretty informal because it's a small group of us. So,
do you guys have copies of the handbook, or if you want them?
I've seen them online.
Yeah. Don't feel you have to take them, but if you want to, that's what Suzanne's going to be going through.
Thanks, Noelle.
Yeah, there's some other handouts up there too.
So that's Noelle. She's the main point of contact for this program. I'm Suzanne. This is Matt, Metro staff as well, on the program team. So we just got started talking. We're talking big picture. What is Metro? Are you guys familiar with Metro as a regional government?
Yes.
Okay, cool. So we won't go back to that. And we're kind of getting down to like, what is this program? It's a new 3-year pilot program, and we're in year 2. And we're here to talk about the program grants. So these are smaller grants. We also have capital grants in this program. But basically, I was just going over these kind of high-level goals of the program. It's to strengthen local efforts to reduce the amount of toxicity of materials that would otherwise be discarded and go to a landfill, to effectively manage and make better use of the waste that we produce in the region. And also another outcome that we're desiring from this program is to ensure that the benefits of the regional garbage and recycling system are shared more equitably, particularly with communities of color and other communities that have not benefited from the system or have suffered disproportionate negative impacts. Okay, that's as far as I got before you showed up. So, getting even more narrow, the objectives of the grant program, I mentioned reducing the amount and toxicity of waste in the region, strengthening prevention, reuse, recycling, composting, and energy recovery services programs and infrastructure, encouraging new technology and innovation, and encouraging new participants in the system from communities of color or other historically underrepresented groups. So this program came out of and is related to two key planning documents that Metro recently completed. This one we very recently completed, the 2030 Regional Waste Plan. This is kind of the guiding document for how Metro will oversee and manage the solid waste system for the next 12 or so years. It identifies grants as a tool for advancing some of the outcomes that we want to get out of the regional system, including things like reducing the amount of waste, the toxicity of waste, improving more equitable outcomes within the system. The other key document is the strategic plan to advance racial equity, diversity, and inclusion. This kind of is a overlay over all of Metro's work and outlines our racial equity strategy. And it really talks about making investments in a way that furthers racial equity in the region. So we have two available grant types. We're here today to talk about the program grants. They can be between $25,000 and $75,000. And these are for personnel, operations, and equipment associated with new or expanded programming. And it has a 20% match requirement. And that means 20% of the grant award. That and we're going to talk about that in a little more detail in another slide. I also wanted to just highlight that we are also awarding capital grants of $50,000 to $750,000, and those are for larger investments in facility infrastructure and machinery and equipment, primarily. It has a 100% match requirement. If you have questions about the capital grants, I'm happy to answer those. We'll save them to the end so we can cover all the program grant stuff, but just wanted to highlight that we have two types. This is eligibility for both grant types. These grants are for the private sector, so it includes nonprofit organizations, 501c organizations, and for-profit businesses. Are you all within those, one of those two? Okay, great. Projects have to take place in the metro region or manage or impact waste generated in the region. And you can apply for more than one program grant at the same time. You can apply for a capital and program grant, although the capital grant cycle is now closed for this year. The grant funds can go toward a lot of different types of project costs, staff time, materials, supplies, equipment, professional services, or contracted services. You can use up to 10% for overhead that's related to the project. Grants are all reimbursable, so you spend the money and then request reimbursement. The 20% match for these grants can be cash or in-kind or a combination of both. And both grant funds and match have to be tied to the grant project, and one key point is it has to be incurred within the grant period. And the grant period begins when a contract is signed. And for the current cycle that we're in, that is January of the coming year. So we can talk more about that if you have specific questions. So this is the gold standard of what we're hoping to see in proposals, that there are positive impacts on the waste stream or human or environmental health associated with products, either at any point in their life cycle, but particularly at the end of life when they're discarded, and there would be advancement of equity and direct positive impacts on communities of color or other underrepresented groups. And I have a handout back there called Equity Prompts for Applicants. It's ways of thinking about ways that your project might be able to get to these outcomes. So there's some resources there to help you think through that. I'm going to talk a little bit more about both of those points. So what we mean by waste stream impacts, so here's a few examples of projects that could impact the waste stream. Project that helps build skills and capacity to reduce waste through repair and reuse, expanding existing programs for donating clothing or electronics, developing an online system for monitoring food waste that somehow connects directly to implementation of measures to reduce the waste. Those are just a few examples of many that could be out there where the amount of waste or the toxicity of waste is being reduced. What we mean by impacts to the environmental or human health, this is basically an acknowledgement that not all waste is the same and that some waste has more significant impacts to the environment or human health. For example, greenhouse gas emissions associated with plastics or food waste. So it just means that, and likely program grants are dealing in tons or mass quantity, but the point is that the quantity is not always as important as the type of material. So this is just recognizing that fact. And then what we mean by the equity focus within this program. So here's just a few examples of the ways that these grants can help advance equity, either through direct project impacts in a community or on the ground, or within your own organization or business. So it could help provide employment or job training opportunities. It could expand programming and services for historically underserved communities. Communities could have a role in shaping the project and implementing it. Active efforts to recruit and retain diverse staff and board. Addressing a historical impact. There's a whole bunch of other ways, and those equity prompts back there, and also the handbook has some ideas to help spur some thinking, and we are available to talk about this aspect of the program. So, because we're such a small group, if you have questions, feel free to jump in. We can also just save it at the end. We're almost actually at the end. So proposal questions and scoring criteria are all in the handbook. There's a specific what we're looking for and how we're weighing the proposals. So you can read through that in the handbook. And this is kind of a high-level overview of what we're looking at. The team is a team of Metro staff, and we are looking for a good project description, a good, clear picture of what you're hoping to achieve in terms of impacts on the ground, both for the waste stream and for equity, community benefits and advancing equity. Do you have a well thought out project plan? Is your budget well thought out? Does it make sense? Are they all eligible expenses? Does your organizational capacity and culture also advance equity? Do you have good practices in place for people of all backgrounds and to feel comfortable at work and that sort of thing. Evaluating progress and outcomes, how you're going to measure the impacts and sustain them over time. Those are the kinds of things we're looking at in your proposal. And this is what's changed a lot, Kaya, from when Salvage Works applied. The proposal process this year, we're doing a couple deadlines for the program grants. So we're reviewing them in batches, and we're just winding down the current first batch of 2019 proposals and planning on awarding grants this month. The next batch we're going to start, where I think if you're here, you're probably going to be applying, would be by October 11th. That's when we cut off the proposals and start reviewing them at that point, with decisions to be made in December of this year, and then contracting take place in the following month. So basically what would happen if you applied is when we receive your proposal through Zoom Grants, our online software will notify you that we've received it and confirm the timing of the process. We'll be in touch if we have any questions, need any clarification. You can always call myself or Noelle. And you can keep an eye on the program website for any updates to funding availability, but we know for sure we're going to be doing at least one more round of funding, and that's the round that closes October 11th. quickly, just in case you have not been on Zoom Grants yet, this is our online portal for both the capital and the program grants. This is what you would see. There's a link to get to this place on the program website. Also, there's a handout back there for how you can get on here. You set up an account. It's really dark. For some reason, they changed the color to black against blue. So we've since changed this back to readable. But this is the program you would see, and you just hit apply. It's pretty straightforward. There's some documents here in the document library. This is the grant agreement template, so if you were awarded a grant, you can see what the terms are of the grant really far in advance of the process. This is the handbook. That's the same one that's in front of you here. And then you just fill in the answers. There are character limits for each section. The limits do include spaces, punctuation, so it's a good idea to write it all out in Word and cut and paste, but being mindful of those character limits. That's it for Zoom Grants.
Is it possible to attach anything?
Yes, you can. There's optional attachments and there is some limits to that, but it's pretty. And all those questions are in the back of that handbook. There's an appendix that just has everything that's in Zoom Grants in Word form, so you can see.
And some things like the budget have to be submitted as
right.
an attachment.
That's right, yeah.
Letters of support.
Yeah. So a couple final thoughts. Just make sure that you ensure that the project for which you're applying ties logically to the objectives of this program. And also just make it easier on reviewers who have no idea what you're proposing. Assume that we have no information about your project and just tell a clear story. Feel free to contact Noelle or I. We can help talk through any questions you have in the grant process anytime. I think that is it. If you need additional help, we've been referring people to the Grant Professional Association Northwest for folks that might want some help with grant writing. Zoom Grants has a help desk and tutorials. If you get in any trouble with Zoom Grants, but it's really pretty straightforward. We haven't had a lot of issues. I have a handout back there on grant writing tips, and just, you know, we're here to support the process. That's it. So that's my formal presentation and lots of time to answer questions. Yeah. Do you guys want to add anything? Anything you I missed?
No. You covered it.
Okay.
Thank you.
You bet. Yeah, you bet.
I have a couple questions.
Sure.
So, two things. So, one, Mario and I are working on a startup. So, it's a technology-based startup. So, one of our primary concerns is confidentiality. So, can you talk a little bit about what that process would look like when we're working with folks out in the community to kind of go through an NDA process? So, like, if we submitted a proposal that's information that's going to you, can we feel good about that?
Yeah.
Just like, where does that all lie? And could an NDA come into play in the grant proposal process? Just can we talk through that a little
bit? Yeah, it's a really good question because it's we take it really seriously. We have, especially in the capital grant side, but we treat them the same, capital program applications. There is a lot of sensitive information that comes through these proposals, including things like financial statements and proprietary information. And so the way we have it highly restricted within Metro, only the team can access proposals. Documents that come into Metro's possession in general are public record, but we have a lot of ability to restrict access to anyone who requests those records in terms of financial information, proprietary information. So we redact heavily, and if we get a public records request for a proposal, what we do is we work with our attorney to redact everything we think needs to be redacted, then we share it with the applicant and say, tell us what we should redact. And we advise you in the proposal handbook to mark things as confidential so we aren't left kind of guessing. But before we respond to any public records requests, we make sure to review the redactions with you. And We don't typically do NDAs for an application. I'm not sure that we can't.
I don't think we can
because of the public records obligations we have.
Sure.
But we take it really seriously, and we have protected a lot of information already from last year with applicants, mostly on the capital side, with their competitors wanting access. So we've been really successful in protecting the material and running by everything through the applicants. So there's never a point at which you would discover we had released your proposal.
Got it.
Just to add that we cannot give you 100% guarantee just because of the public record. So, you know, you'll indicate what's confidential.
Yeah.
I would say don't mark every single answer confidential. That will actually undermine your efforts. And then we go through the process, Suzanne said. If someone files a public records request, we'll have that consultation. We'll give them the redacted information. If they want to challenge Metro's holding on to that information, they can go to the district attorney, who then reviews it. And if the district attorney doesn't agree, they can order us to release. Now, that rarely happens.
Sure.
And it takes a while.
It takes a while. And there's, you know, state law does call out exemptions for the general type of information that you're saying. There's an interest in not providing businesses proprietary information to competitors.
Sure.
So we feel pretty confident, but if you need 100% guarantee, an NDA might provide, we can't do that.
If there's anything in particular, like specific, that you want to make sure is protected, you can contact me and I can run it by our attorney and get as much assurance as we can give you, which will, like Matt said, not be 100%, but it would be really close. So, I hate to have you not apply for that, but I understand.
Sure. No, yeah. I appreciate the clarity on that. And then one other question around the obligation for in-kind. So we're primarily a software platform. So Mario and I, as founders of the startup, are obviously not taking the salary. There is no money to be had at this point. How is that defined, right?
That would qualify.
So we would essentially be use the grant for further development of the platform, but we would also be working at the same time, essentially donating our time. So I just want to make sure that
probably consider donated staff labor.
Sure.
And you'd have to value it at the level at which, the equivalent level of, so if you were being paid,
right.
And you'd have to track all those hours, and they'd have to be within the grant period, but that would qualify.
Okay,
yeah.
Perfect.
Yeah.
Thank
you. Mm-hmm. Yeah, and so there's more information on that in the handbook a bit, and if you have specific questions, again, feel free to run them by me.
Okay.
Yeah. You guys have any questions?
Ladies first?
No? You first.
All right. So I have two questions. First one is easy. As a community, is Metro, as a community partner, eligible to be supporting the grant?
A community partner?
Yeah.
Like in a match contribution or
letter of support?
Just a support. Yeah, letters of support with
an application.
Company. Sure.
Oh, because I don't have any collection vehicles around that I can test my solution on, so that would be connecting with Metro as a community partner.
Oh, connecting with us as a partner in the grant implementation.
Correct.
Might probably need a little more information to be able to say yes or no on that.
Sure. So that kind of ties to the second solution, second question. So what I'm after is I want to be able to detect at the curbside recyclable pickup what is the composition and contamination of the recyclable material. So as the can drops the stuff, so as the collection vehicle picks up the recycled can, dumps the material into the truck, I want to be able to detect what is the composition and contamination. So obviously I'm after the hardware sensor platform that will be doing the information recording, and then I'm after the intelligent processing of the information to basically say ballpark 13% is cardboard, 40% is plastic bottles, and blah blah blah. and there is a bag of unidentified stuff or a cinder block. So that would be kind of the first stage, knowledge acquisition, and as far as I know, there is no such thing. The information I'm after is kind of like when you get your electricity bill, it says 3 out of 4 of your neighbors are using 30% more.
Oh, yeah.
So you can, nothing else, you can shame.
About how contaminated their cans are.
Right. Would just this technology solution for knowledge acquisition be sufficient for the grant? Or, so the second part would be, after this is implemented, of course you can, after the analysis, you can design intelligent education campaigns, because I presume that you're just sending the same pamphlet to all the households in all the neighborhoods that are the same. But if I know that, let's say, Lens neighborhood has this type of material deposited into the truck versus Creston has this kind of material, then you can intelligently target the company or the material recovery facility. You can manage it a lot better. So if you know that you have 80% of the mixed recyclables in a collection vehicle is cardboard, and only 2% is cans, then you can intelligently route that collection vehicle to a specific material recovery facility. So the two questions to this are, first, is just the knowledge acquisition sufficient? But because you had you made a statement, impact on the ground, which would be kind of the implementation and the measuring the impact of the findings, but I'm not sure if I'm a scientist, so it might work, it might not work, I don't know. So then the question.
Yes. I think that's a reasonable proposal.
Just for the knowledge acquisition?
To get the information.
It's a proof of concept a tool that could have value in its application.
And I do have similar results on a solid waste analysis at a transfer station level. So,
in Alaska.
Yeah, from aerial vehicle. So we flew a drone over a transfer station, took the pictures, and were able to tell the approximate composition of 5 materials in on the transfer slab. So then, would Metro qualify as a community partner, because obviously I need to mount this platform on a truck or on multiple trucks into multiple neighborhoods to collect baseline data and analyze the data. So I don't have
You don't have a hauler.
Exactly.
Yeah, you need a hauler partner.
Yeah, so we don't have those trucks actually either.
Okay.
Because in our region, it's private companies that provide the collection services that are authorized by city and county governments.
Okay.
So I think what we could do for you is give you some connections, some leads. So both with some local governments, as well as there's an association in the region that represents most of the private haulers, and it may be worth your starting with her. This representative of the association, and saying that you're looking for some participants, that may be a good start.
Fantastic.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm glad you're here. I wasn't totally sure how to answer that, but it sounds fascinating.
Yeah.
Excited to see it. Yeah. All right, you're up.
Cool.
Yeah, so, no pressure, but if you want, it's your turn.
Yeah, we're going to change up our grant proposal. Last year it was mostly just for like expanding our welding program, but this year we're a little bit more ambitious because we want to expand industrial arts programs. So we have welding and lamp making, but they're not just art programs, they use salvage material. And so we want to educate the community through the lens of salvage on how to like recontextualize old things, repair things, and we also want to partner with nonprofits like Constructing Hope and Repair PDX, maybe host like a repair cafe. And we have the space to do it. It's more about just like having more of a plan. Even like even doing this grant proposal is going to help us like kind of like make these connections. But definitely having the funding for like materials, like we can maybe save more things because we're salvage, right? So it's kind of like shopping at Goodwill. You don't know what you're going to get. And it's almost like the actual donation side of Goodwill where it's like you got to find value and make sure it gets a good home and it's like getting a better life. So yeah, most of our grant is going to be around like community education and using salvage to actually educate people on material literacy. Like we want to also build that curriculum into our programs. When we do our welding class, people can understand like how to identify like aluminum versus like iron and all that sort of stuff. And then maybe how to incorporate other construction and home goods into like salvage art.
Cool.
Yeah, hopefully it'll be entertaining to read. And also impactful.
Well, we appreciate that.
Yeah, through art, it's all about, you know, more of like inspiration, but we definitely do want to figure out a way to quantify it. And so, like with youth welding, we want to partner with sort of like places that are underserved. So I know that like Grant High School, like they don't have a metal lab. And so they're like in our neighborhood, and so maybe we do like high school classes, and then part of that would be like this like salvage material literacy program. Mm-hmm. So
great,
that's what we want.
Any questions about the process or anything?
I've read the handbook, and I definitely have questions, but I think this was really helpful.
And we can keep the conversation going on the phone.
I don't know if I really even asked a question or just told you.
Yeah, I have a question.
That's okay. Yeah, totally.
Well, you know, thinking about maybe we could just all think a little
please
bit about
please ask me
the
questions.
The impact on the waste stream in terms of, like, the quantity of materials mm-hmm. that you would be rescuing.
Totally.
In order to do that and thinking about how to be able to demonstrate that the impact to the waste stream.
Absolutely.
I don't know if you all have any thoughts about that, too, just in terms of what we would be looking for in our criteria.
It's always helpful, and as well, you know, if you're trying to affect some behavior change that kind of leverages your own efforts, then to the extent, as I think you naturally would, you know, talking that through a little.
Definitely, like, sharing that story of salvage is very important for people to understand, like, our business. So our business is, like, 42nd and Prescott. You guys should all come to Metal with. And, yeah, okay, awesome, yeah.
Cool.
And so it's, like, some things, like, are pulled from a landfill. And as far as, like, they're, I don't know if they're quite metro landfills. Some of them are private. Like, kind of comes from everywhere. And I would love to get people out to these landfills and maybe they go pick it through themselves. Because it's like, sure, they're removing one thing, but when they take one thing and they see the landfill, it's kind of just like, wow, reality check on human waste. Mm-hmm. And that definitely has affected me. So.
Awesome. Yeah, it sounds like a lot there. Sounds great.
Right. So, I mean, like, I do have to research about, like, permits and if we can actually go to these places, because Metalwood has, like, sort of forge special relationships with like the salvagers and the scrappers, and it's a whole community network. Mm-hmm. But definitely, like, even showing pictures of like where we've gotten pieces and letting people know, like, hey, this is how you recycle bed frames or stuff that we don't take. It's definitely helpful. Mm-hmm. We're repping.
Thank you. All right. Anything else we can offer while we're here together?
Yeah,
hopefully we have
the phone and some cards here.
Yeah.
Any questions?
Yeah, I think we can call it.
Great.
Go enjoy the sun.
Thank you all.
Great. Yeah, thanks for being here.
Thanks for hosting.